Well, we're going to go back into our teaching again, dealing, and I titled it, Laws That Govern Prayer. It doesn't seem like we've been talking specifically much about prayer. We started 2 weeks ago, but the Lord told me to talk about the areas of fear, because it's one of the things that we don't want to do is we don't want to go in our prayer life and praying because of our fears, the things we're afraid of. And as we go in, we'll look more at things concerning the scriptures here, dealing with those areas of prayer, because, you know, prayer can become much of a, and I believe overall in the church, has become much of a religious thing instead of a thing of faith. It's not a thing, you know, prayer should be something that is, you know, as normal to us as our conversation to God should be as normal as we talk to people. I don't, you know, think about, but sometimes people think about praying, you know. Sometimes, you know, I get on my knees or something and pray. There's sometimes, you know, and whatever. But there's times that I'm praying, I'm talking to God, I'm driving down the road talking to God, asking God questions about things, want to know stuff. And we should have, God needs to become real to us, His presence. You know, people, you know, Christians talk about God everywhere and God lives in me. But actually, most Christians live like God's 10 billion miles away somewhere and they're trying to get a hold of Him. Most of the time you hear ministers talk about, you know, God and getting a hold of God. They act like God is some hard thing to get a hold of, and we just got to really push and strive and pull, you know, got to have the right buttons and push the right, you know, button and pull the right string and do all these things. But there are things we have to do, but we need to know what the things we have to do and not be just doing religious things. And especially treating God as if He's way out there somewhere. You know, if God's everywhere, we're not trying. We don't have to shout Him down. We don't have to, you know, try to do something. I mean, sometimes I get praying and I'm by myself. I can get pretty loud and rowdy. But, you know, they get the anointing on you, you'll do stuff. But it isn't because I'm trying to yell to reach God's out there somewhere, trying to get Him to hear me. If we had to do it that way, we'd just buy a big amplifier, get some big speakers, and, you know, we could just do that. But, you know, getting over where it becomes a natural thing to us to talk to God. It's really God's with me. I mean, just think about today. You know, we come in and we talk the presence of God. There is an anointing of God that has to do with the body comes together. There's a corporate anointing. It's the anointing that comes when all of the body comes together. There's a corporate anointing. You can do more than a corporate anointing. If you get a group of people in faith moving in the same direction, they can do more than any single person can do. If they couldn't, there wouldn't be any point to having a body. Can't your whole body do more than what your finger can do? Well, it can. And so, and understand that. So we come together, and we come together, the presence of God is here among us. But when we're out here around, you know, during your walk, your everyday life, God's with you. And so live like that. Live like God's with you. Don't live over in the areas of fear like you're alone. You don't want to let the devil trap you in that area and trap you into that thing of living under bondage of things. Like, you know, my words, sometimes to some people, the devil's a lot bigger than God is, you know. And their fears of what the devils do. Or they're like we talked somewhat about. You know, some people don't live in a consciousness as a devil at all. Churchmen, the church world, you know, there is no devil anymore. You know, there's not. They're even out here. And yet those same people, he runs their lives and they don't even know it. Because he got them to believe he don't exist. I'm guarantee you, he's running things. You don't think he's exist? I'll tell you, he's running your life. Because he's going to own you. He's going to keep you from... You can't live over in that area. You have to be conscious of him. But we don't have to be afraid of him. And we taught on the areas of the name of Jesus and using the name of Jesus in those areas of dealing with demonic powers. Now, one of the things that Kenneth Hagin... when I first got saved, I'd gotten quite a few... He had these... prayer tapes on prayer, and there was a lot of them. And then over later years, they broke them into segments and teaching. But I had his first series that came out, and there was probably about 16 or so tapes in a series on prayer. And he had done them from one of his prayer seminars. He used to always do a spring prayer seminar. I attended some of those. And when I was at Rhema, Brother Hagin taught on prayer and things. So I heard him teach on prayer lots of times. And he was very simplistic teaching. But one of the things that really brought me into an understanding about prayer that I started to understand why the body of Christ had such difficulty with God was the fact that he would use an example. He would say, you know, he would talk about like different sports and different things have rules and how it runs. He said, you know, you couldn't use football rules for baseball. It'd never work, or vice versa. But he said the church has taken prayer and they've taken all the things that the Bible has of prayer and they've just dumped it all. He said they dumped it in a bag and shook it up and just poured it out and, you know, just have it all mixed together. And so, and he's right about that. In other words, we've had the idea when it comes to God and God's kingdom, we can just sort of just do what we want. You know, I've heard this statement, and you've heard it lots of times. People say, people are out here just, Christian, just messing up in life. Just, and they'll say, well, God knows their heart. What on earth does that mean? You know, it's like the guy driving down the road doing 90 miles an hour in a 35 zone when the cop pulls him over. He said, I know he had a right heart about it. He didn't want to do that. And they just, you know, we say these things. These are religious cliches to try to justify stupidity or somebody just in disobedience. We need to understand there's rules to follow. Do you know there's rules of love? There's rules which are not taught concerning. You know Jesus didn't believe just because somebody said they loved him, he loved him? Jesus didn't believe that? Jesus said to his disciples, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Well, we know this. Most Christians don't love God. At least God don't believe it. Oh, they don't keep his commandments. Today, you don't have to. My word, you go out here, live any way you want as a Christian, and oh, well, you're saved, you're all right. Now, he said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. So in other words, seems to be some rules. There's rules to things. Understand this about rules to things, and get this in your mind. I don't know, we have, when we use the term, we talk about law, laws and rules, immediately most people look in a negative. And in their life, it's a negative to them. It's like me, you know, saying something, you know, telling you, you're an idiot. They, when they hear those words, they think immediately goes their minds, laws and rules are like, oh, no, no. What is? And people automatically think and go there. They don't think laws and rules, it doesn't sound good. Oh, man, you know, there's a legalist. Well, get over it. There's laws and rules of things. Number one, if you understand the laws and rules that are established in the Bible, the reason, and you can be thankful, if there's not laws and rules, then you end up with what has been taught in the body of Christ. Sometimes God says yes, sometimes he says no. Sometimes, so in other words, there's no laws or rules to prayer. God just does whatever he wants. And then they'll throw on top, well, he's God, he can do whatever he wants. Man, that's the God I grew up under in the church I was in. He's God. He can do whatever he wants. So, you know, you could never take in accountability. The wonderful thing about laws and rules, if God established laws and rules, then if I follow whatever laws and rules that he gives on any certain thing, this is one thing I can know for sure. I can have whatever it is that I'm trying to get because he has set a direct path that I can get it. You want laws and rules. You don't want this lawless church world that preaches a grace out here that don't have laws and rules because you are going to believe and you have to come to the point to believe that sometimes God says yes and sometimes he says no. Because when you don't follow the rules, it ain't going to work. And so you're going to stop and say, well, I guess God didn't, you know, well, God didn't want me to have that. He had a reason. He knew that I shouldn't have that. Have you ever heard anybody say that? Well, God didn't give that to me because, and you know, I'd love to, I don't want to always say it to people, but I'd love to look at them and just say, no, you were faithless and didn't know, and that's why you didn't get it. Don't blame God for your problem. Don't tell God. God didn't do it. We did it. If God promised it, he provided a way for us to get it. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, that's good news. To me, I was always sort of a person, I like rules. About stuff, because if I know what the rules are to follow, it's easy. I know what to do. I like that. Then I don't have to sit around and think, oh, maybe will this work or will this work? I don't have to make things up. I don't have to go along and this is one of the things. See, the church world has built a God in the image that they produce themselves, not according to the Word. They produced a God who doesn't always answer prayer. They produced a God that don't always heal, want to heal sick people. They produced a God that don't always even, some of the groups don't even always believe God wants to save everybody. Calvinism is the basic teaching of the church world. And Calvinism is God has certain people he's picked to be saved and some he didn't. That's Calvinism. And the majority of Bible schools in America, their basis of their teaching is Calvinism. And that's why we have all this. Sometimes God says yes, sometimes God says no. That all goes on out there because that's what's taught in America. Those things are taught. You know, they go what they call good Bible schools, have Calvinism taught in them. They teach Calvinism. And so, you know, it was a man's idea of what the Bible said instead of what the Bible said. But, you know, people buy it and it gets passed on down the line. And so they sit there, well, you know, God, once you saved, you'll be saved. Isn't that interesting? God, once you saved, well, then I don't have to do nothing. One day I'll just get saved. You know, I was destined to be saved, you know, because God just chose me and that poor guy across the street who died and went to hell, dear Lord. God just didn't like him, I guess. But that idea of God's willing that none should perish, well, that'd be a lie, wouldn't it? It's a wonder they didn't read that scripture. God's willing that none should perish, all come to repentance. You know, in other words, God wants everybody saved. So God could, how could he want everybody saved and he only chose some? I wanted you saved, but I decided not to pick you. Say, dear Lord, you know, you guys, we've been fortunate. We got in the lottery and we got picked. Those, my God. You know, it's a strange stuff, but these things are being taught because really they're religion without rules. It's religion without any kind of rule. There's no guidelines to it. So people can know they can arrive at a certain point. Now, we know what you have to do to be saved. You know, we've been taught those things. We know. And isn't my God, getting saved is the easiest thing in the world. You don't have to do something crazy. Believe in your heart, confess Jesus is Lord. My God, isn't it? Believe God raised him from the dead. Boy, that's a tough one, ain't it? But Paul established those rules of what you do to get saved, to become born again, to become a child of God. He sat down, what you do? And what does the church world say? Oh, just ask Jesus into your heart. I'm major evangelist. They call them great evangelists. Say that kind of stuff all the time. Just ask Jesus into your heart. Gee, it'd be nice if you did what the Bible said. Be nice to get the guy to believe what the Bible said about it. Because, you know, Jesus Christ himself told Kenneth Hagin that many people pray prayers in churches and through ministers and they don't get saved. Because they're not in line with the Word of God. They're men's ideas on how to get saved. You know, that's a terrible thing. You get a person believing they're all right and they're not. The hardest person to reach is a person who believes they're okay or they're not. Religion does that all the time. You get a person who has been taught and trained that what they have, that they're you know, okay with God, they're all right, they're going to be the hardest one to reach if they're not all right. The guy who don't know God, don't know a thing about him, they're the easiest to get to. The hard ones are people who are religious. Religious people. Jesus. Who did Jesus have most of the problem with? Religious people who thought they were all right. Don't get religious. I'll tell you, I learned a third of my religion in the past. Thank God my parents and stuff were born again, but I don't want religion and the things that they had. I don't want how to throw that stuff out. Don't make them bad people. I got revelation they didn't get, but I got it. But I can't go on to believe the things that they believe. I have to throw things out. Because you can't go on with those things. Thank God, you know, thank God they lived as godly as they understood. They lived good lives. They were good. Thank God for that. But there's a lot that, man, I had to throw out. It wasn't true. It wasn't right. Now we look over, you know, because we don't want to do with prayer going into the things of prayer. We don't want to go in and just sort of throw things in here and just jumble it all together. We have to get some things right. There's some things that we must do. Now, in Ephesians, the sixth chapter, I just want to read one of the verses there where the Apostle Paul talked about putting on the whole armor of God. The Apostle Paul, in the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians, said, talked to them at the end there. He said about praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. He said, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So he did identify something with prayer. He talked about praying, but he said praying always with all prayer. In other words, he didn't say just pray. He said all prayer. So he identifies something. There's more than one type of praying. There's more than one type of praying. All praying should be done in the Spirit. Now, we need to understand this. I want you to get a hold because, see, people, they capitalize the word there, Spirit, which I believe is wrong from the standpoint of looking at it just as praying in the Holy Ghost. He said praying in the Spirit. In other words, praying from your own spirit, your own heart. Understand this. You cannot operate in faith out of your head. This is why most people pray out of their head. They pray what they see around them. They see the problem. They're not praying out of their hearts. My heart sees things that my mind and my eyes don't see nor understand, but your heart does. You have the Holy Spirit in you. Now, number one, if you want to have an effective prayer life, you're going to have to be led by the Spirit. The Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. So you're going to have to be led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God's in us to help guide us, but we're going to operate through our own spirit, our own human spirit. You know, Mark 11, 23, we're talking that mountain. We believe in our heart and say with our mouth. That same principle he carried over to prayer in Mark 11, 24 in the prayer of faith. What we're supposed to do is when we pray, whatever thing we desire, when we pray, we're supposed to believe we receive it. This is by out of my heart. In my heart, I believe I receive it. Not in my mind. In my heart. In my inner man. The inner man. So prayer, you need to understand, prayer is something done out of the inside and not done out of the outside. Many times I have done it, and I'll guarantee you, I know you've done it. You have prayed out of your mind and produced nothing and done it over and over again and wonder why things don't change. Sure, I've had this happen to me a number of times where I get over praying concerning a thing, an individual, sometimes with individuals. I'll get over and I'll pray. And somehow I'll know on the inside this thing ain't hooking up and going. My heart ain't hooked with this thing. Sometimes I don't know why. But I know it isn't. Well, sometime I override that with my mind and I keep going and praying about it. I have gone as long as sometimes praying about certain things for a year, on and off for a year, and knowing the whole time that I'm praying, something ain't right about this on the inside, but I don't stop and ask. One of the great shames is many Christians go on and pray for it for centuries and never even know that they're not praying. As I know that something's not hooked enough. Then all of a sudden, one day, this little pea thing running around up here, bouncing off my ears in the inside, all of a sudden it dawns on me, you know, I ought to talk to God about this. Something ain't right. I have never had one time that I've come into a situation like that. When I asked God a question about it, he'd immediately talk to me. But I want you to understand this about God. God generally will not tell you things unless you ask. He's not. Do you know the only reason you guys get to hear something when you come here is because you come here. If you don't come here, you ain't going to sit home and hear this sermon. This is what everybody wants today, is to sit home and hear the sermon. They want to say, but God will talk to you directly and move directly in things because people have a desire to hear something or to know something. They want to hear something. They want to gain something. And God will respond. God ain't chasing people around out here just while they just go all on their lives and don't bother with things. He's not chasing after them. I learned this a long time ago. God wouldn't say things. I had an individual one time I prayed for almost a year. I prayed concerning an individual, and nothing ever worked right with it. One day I finally got just downright frustrated with it. I prayed to frustration. I prayed myself to frustration because it wasn't working, and I knew it, and I just kept praying about it. But the individual and the things, and finally I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, what about so-and-so? And I called the person's name, and just as clear, the Lord said to me, he's hard-hearted and stiff-necked. And right away I knew, that's one of those things that I always say, God can turn around and say a couple words, and you'd all of a sudden know everything he was talking about. And all of a sudden I just knew I wasted a year of prayer for an individual that was never going to change. You know, we need to learn these things. You know, many times we're praying for situations, and we don't ask God to get involved in it, and we're praying for stuff that ain't going to change, and we're wasting our time praying. I wasted my time. But it made me so mad. I was madder at me and the guy. I've been on and off with this thing, thinking I'm just being a nice guy. Boy, I'm being a good Christian boy, praying about this thing. Wasting my time when I could have prayed for something else and been praying for somebody who wanted to change. I know you never did nothing like that. You sweet things. I mean, my God, look at you. I see your halos on your head now. I've made so many mistakes, that's why I can teach you a lot. I learned the hard way.
don't learn the hard way. Don't do what I did. Don't learn the hard way. But see, I wouldn't, because I wasn't listening really and following what's on the inside of me, is how you get into these situations. Is because on the inside, if I would have known and listened, see, we have this idea, and it's this idea, well, if you just pray, it's a good thing. Not all prayer is a good thing. Especially when you're wasting your time doing it. That ain't a good thing. It ain't good for Ed wasting his time praying for a guy that wasn't going to change. I mean, that was a dumb thing for me to do. When I thought about it, I thought, you know, well, the whole thing got me was I went talking to the Lord about the guy and never asked the Lord about the guy for a year. Most people won't ask God anything about anything. They just go ahead and pray. They don't even get. I learned to also, and I, you know, I learned some of those things ahead of time, but I learned from Kenneth Hagin when he would pray. I'd listen to him pray. I'd listen to how he prayed. But Brother Hagin would always pray, and he would ask the Lord about things, or he would be praying about a certain thing and standing on a certain promise. But then he'd say to the Lord, Lord, now if you want to do something different, or you want to do something, let me know what you want to do. And I learned with that. I learned, my God, you got to be listening to God and getting God involved in your prayer life. Most people are not. God's not involved in their prayer life. It's all their own. It's their own. You know, I used the example and talked about it before when I came back from Bible school and the pastor of the church I was in at the time asked me to take over on a Friday night. They were having what they called an intercessory prayer meeting, which wasn't, you know, they think because you put a title on something, then it is. Well, it wasn't. The Lord told me it wasn't no intercessory prayer meeting. He said they're just asking people what they want prayed. They're praying and about things. It was always seemed nice and good, but you know, I realized the first night I was there, and they were praying, and they were going to town praying and walking around, and I'm thinking, you know, there's no anointing of God in this place and moving in the direction they're going. There's no anointing in this thing. They're just out here talking. They're out here carrying. They're saying, Lord, we're having an intercessory prayer meeting, but they weren't following anything of intercession. They weren't following in that path at all. In fact, God wasn't even involved in it. They weren't asking the Lord what he wanted or what he wanted to do. And so, you know, I went for a couple weeks. Lord, I just watched it for a couple weeks. And then one night, they were all going through their things and their stuff. And I just said, Lord, I said, what's going on? What do you want to do here? What do we do with this thing? So I asked God. I got smart. You know, you did learn something. I just said, Lord, what do you want to do here? And the Lord basically told me they're wasting their time. They've been here wasting their time. They've been here going through their things. It isn't they were bad. They wanted to do good things. They want their heart. Listen to this. Their hearts were right, but that didn't produce a thing just because your heart's right. Just because they wanted to do good, it didn't make good happen. Just because you wanted to do good. Just because, you know, they weren't evil people. They weren't bad people. But they weren't following rules of things, and they didn't know what God wanted to do. They didn't understand what God wanted to do in prayer. And so I stopped and said, well, Lord, what do you want to do with this thing? Because I said, I realize this as we are. This is not no intercessory prayer meeting. But what would you like? Because really, what had happened, they were shotgun prayers. They were praying about everything on the sun. Anything somebody wanted prayed for, they were going to pray for it. And what happened was, you know, as Brother Hagin used to tell us, becoming the jack of all trades and the master of none. Their prayer life was like that. They were just trying to hit it all, hoping to get something. But see, prayer doesn't work in that manner. You know, if you only touch something a little bit, you're only going to get a little bit from it. And what you have to learn to do is this, is get a focused prayer life. Have a focus in prayer. What is your focus? What do you want when you go to God about something? You know, like Mike, you know, gets up and he was talking this morning here, you know, encouraging our faith in the areas of giving. A specific course in what he's doing and what he's saying with doing with the offering. And it ties to the offering. It ties to what we are doing. Now, he doesn't get up there and he's talking about who wants to get saved. Now, there's nothing you want to do. You want to get people saved. But there's a specific direction that we're going and following. And when it comes to prayer, what's your direction? What is it that you want to accomplish? What do you want to do? You know, you can't do it all at once. You can't, it's like working on a car. You got five problems with a car. You can't fix each one of them simultaneously. You fix one, then you go to the next one, you go to the next one. And you need to understand, prayer many times is like that. Prayer is, first, let's get a hold of something. You know, let's get a, what one thing do I want to get a hold of right now? You know, It's like with me, like if I had a financial problem and I had a health problem, my first thing was, let's get this health problem fixed right now. Let's get this taken care of. No, everybody, people get, they're trying to do this, they're trying to believe that. They have Cousin Harry got a problem, they're trying to get Cousin Harry straightened out. They're just so focused all over the place, trying to get all these things accomplished, not stop and say, let me get a hold of this, let me get a hold of that, let me get a hold of that. They have no hold really on any of it. They're just sort of throwing it out there. You know, God, I need healing in my body. Help me send some money right now and fix Harry. And God goes, yeah, right. That's what's going to work. You know, just... In other words, get some focus on what you want when you come to prayer. When you come to prayer, what is it? What is it? You know, certain times there's certain things to be prayed about. You know, I've seen things already. Years ago, we had some prayer meetings in the church, and people would come, you know, and we had specific direction to pray. Continually, people would want to come, and they would want to bring their prayer requests, and we would pray for their stuff. You couldn't get them to come and just, look, this is where we're going with this prayer meeting. We're not trying to get everything else changed in the world. This is what we're focused on. You know, Kenneth Hagin, his ministry, and I know from being at Rhema, when I was at Rhema, we would pray for the Soviet Union almost every day. And you know what happened? The Soviet Union broke up. See, a lot of people wanted a lot of things changed and stuff. But the Lord spoke to him about praying for the Iron Curtain and continue to pray and continue to pray. Told him to do that. And for years they did that. Years. And we would have what they call prayer school. And I would go to prayer school, and I'd go to prayer school and that stuff. We'd always specifically take time and pray. Focus specifically on the Soviet bloc countries. And lo and behold, the Iron Curtain came down. It's because people got focused. We could do all this shotgun praying and trying to pray for everything under the sun and thinking about, you know, everybody and everything. You need to get focused about what you want. We're in prayer. What is it that I need? You know, the Mark 11:24, that prayer and the prayer of faith deals specifically about your desire. It's not Cousin Harry's desire. It's yours. Whatever thing you desire when you pray, don't say what Harry wants. So in other words, there's prayer to be had specifically what we want or the thing that we need. And so there's things that should be priority to you. You've got to become spiritual enough to know what you really need and what you don't need at the time. Most times people are praying for things that they could set aside a while and focus on what they really need. Now, one of the things is a lot of people need is wisdom. Ask for wisdom. God gives it literally. Most people are asking for stuff. If they got wisdom, I learned this. You get wisdom, you can get stuff easy. Stuff comes easy if you got wisdom. I ain't got no notes in this. I wish I had some on it. It'd be good. But we need to understand these things. See, when you get into this prayer life that out here, this is why growing up spiritually is so needed in the church world. When people grow up spiritually, a person who's more mature, you know, it's just like in life. When I was 5 years old, my daddy knew more about what was important in life than Ed did. You know? And kids in high school and college, I'm a lot smarter than them to know what's really important in life. Most of them ain't got a clue. But they think they're smart. You know, I learned from Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin said, somebody lived in this earth 80 years. He said, I don't care if he's a sinner. He said, listen to him. He's lived long enough to know some stuff that's really important. Pay attention. We have today, you know, as you get older, you're just an old fogey, and we young people are so bright. I'll tell you what, these bright people are destroying our nation. And they even get degrees to do it. I'm not impressed with college as much anymore at all. I think it's a place you go get dumber. If you ain't got Jesus and got him strong in you, college will ruin you. It'll ruin you. I'm serious. Education today will ruin you. If you ain't got Jesus strong, they'll ruin your life. They'll destroy you. You know, years ago, it was a whole lot better at colleges. My words, they might even help the dummy. Today, they'll make you one. If you weren't... You want to stay strong knowing Jesus. But, you know, dealing over in the areas of prayer, we need to get over where we get intelligent enough and develop enough in our life that we can tell and know and have the wisdom of what's important and what's not important. We need to know that. Because especially for praying, think about this. You know, when, in fact, from a scriptural standpoint, one of the scriptures, let me read this to you again. We read in Ephesians there, it says, praying in all prayers and supplication in the spirits. It says, being watchful unto to this end, all perseverance and supplication of the saints. The International Standard Version says this, pray in the spirit at all times with every kind of prayer and request that there is. So no, there's different kinds of prayers and requesting from God. Most people don't know that. But yet the Bible teaches it. But most don't know it. And it wasn't until I was taught some of these things, I sure didn't know it. So, you know, people don't know. But if they're not being taught, I remember first listening to Kenneth Hagin teaching on the areas of prayer, and I thought, oh my God, I'd never heard nothing like this stuff in my life. Set in churches as a kid, I'm going to set more services, never heard anybody. All I ever heard was, just pray, just pray. In other words, major minister in the United States, a guy's wife, I mean, wrote an article, and I was reading the article, and she said, just pray, just pray, just pray. She kept saying this whole article about, just pray. And I thought, dear Lord, you telling people to just pray? My God, we might have the devil out like crazy. We might really get him, a good shot at everybody. Well, people don't know how to do it and don't know how to hook up. You got to tell people how to pray, not just pray. Well, all the time, over the years, you know, well, just pray and talk to God. About what? God is not a guy who just wants to hear problem. most people's prayer life is based on their need, not even on God's need. What does God need? Most people have no clue what God needs. I don't have a clue. They never ask in God, God, what do you want? No, it's God, I won't tell you what I want. Get it here quick. Hallelujah. But anyhow, you know, in dealing with the areas of prayer, we want to, you know, approach prayer, and we got to approach it. You know, we did teach in the things in John 15:16. We talked about this before, dealing with the name of Jesus, because we need to understand this, our authority to come to God and ask. You have authority to come and ask God. And we need to understand, this is really, we're dealing with a rule. This is a rule in prayer. Jesus said it, what we do in our asking. In John 15:16, it said, you did not choose me, but I've chosen you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. So he said, whatever you ask the Father in my name. So we have a rule here to prayer, and it's based upon the authority to talk to God. See, we need to be careful with dealing with sinners and just telling sinners to pray and talk to God. He's speaking to covenant people. You have a right to the name of Jesus because you're born of Christ. That's what you're born of. You're in the covenant. A sinner is not. The only thing a sinner has an absolute right with God is to receive Jesus Christ. But he has no guarantee of any other prayer answered. There's no basis of Scripture for a sinner to have any other prayer answered. If God would do it, it's only out of mercy. Because they can't stand in faith and say, well, he said he would do that for me. We need to read. The Bible is written to covenant people, not non-covenant. It's written to covenant people. Now think about this. You're a covenant person, and the Lord told you you have the authority to get your prayers answered in the name of Jesus. We taught on this. So you have that authority was given to you. You're a believer. That's what you are. So that is the right to come and pray and ask for things from God. So God, you can ask for things. You're allowed to. We don't want to get over and get an idea that we can't ask God for nothing. People say you can't ask God for too much. I think most people have asked God for too little. Most people ask God for way too little. We get satisfied many times with getting just a little bit and getting by. You know, sort of like money-wise, most Christians are just glad to get their bills paid. I'm not. I want a lot more than bills paid. I can tell it by listening to people talk. People will say, well, I just want enough to take care of what I need to do. And so what they're telling us is, I have a very selfish prayer life. I just want to get what I can get for me and to hang with the rest of them as long as I'm okay. Now, they don't say that, but that's exactly what's happening. If you only have enough for you, how can you give to those who need? Well, you can't. God couldn't have in his mind at all that you ought to have just have your bills paid. He couldn't have that in his mind at all. But that's been in the mind of the church and most people because most people have lived at a lower standard than they should and got more bills than they should have, and they're just trying to get bills paid. But that wasn't the way God intended. And it's one of the things of getting out of problems is understanding how God works, that God wants you out of it. It's not just you want you out of it. He wants you out of it. He wants you to be able, it says, to give to every good work. Dear God, have any of you been able to give to every good work? Raise your hand, because if you did, I want to know how you got there, because I'm going my way there. See, most people, that isn't the way they think at all. They're not thinking that. They don't think the Bible. What they're thinking is how man's taught. So their prayer life, we've been given authority to go to God on the things that you and I desire or want. Think about that, what you desire or want. Like, you know, I told about Randall Greer. When the Lord talked to him about his airplane, he said, you can get any kind of airplane that you want. He said, it's up to your faith. In other words, you can go as far as you'd like. He's asking the Lord, trying to, well, you know, do I really need this or do I really, maybe I can get by with that. God basically told him, said, I don't need an airplane, you do. What do you want on this airplane? What do you want to have? So in other words, it became what he wanted. Now, all of us have different desires about things. You know, somebody might want to drive a Porsche. Somebody like me, I don't really care to drive a Porsche. You know, that don't bother me in the least. But you know what? If a guy wants to drive a Porsche, he can have one. The Bible says whatever he desires when he prays, he can believe he received it. Oh, well, God don't give Porsches. Well, then what about my desire? You see, you listen to this knucklehead stuff that's been taught over the years in churches. I won't tell you what, it has diminished the churches from believing God. They can't believe God to do stuff. You know, because God gets nervous over a Porsche. Dear Lord, he walks on streets of gold in a Porsche? That's like a spit in a bucket for him. It's like, dear Lord, what does he care about your Porsche? I mean, dear Lord, that's what you desired. God don't drive Porsches. He's everywhere. He don't need one, but Ann might need a car, you know? And you might as well get a good one. You know, dear Lord. But you know, whatever your heart desires, wherever you're at in your faith and you want to do, you can go there. Don't, you know, one of the worst things that happened back in the, you know, some years back, they got into the thing in the 90s on the areas of finances got wrong. And really, they looked down on people that if somebody didn't drive a real nice car, well, they just didn't have faith. They didn't realize, these stupid preachers, that there's many people didn't want that car. They didn't want to drive around in a Mercedes. Personally, I don't want a Mercedes. I personally don't want one. I mean, if somebody gave me one, I would. You know, I might not know if I'd keep it or go sell it. I'm not really that interested in them. To me, there's a lot of other cars that I like. I've read up on them. I've always found this interesting. All these wonderful cars, they put out a list every year of the best cars in the world. And none of those cars ever make the top 10. And I thought the best thing around, what on earth is going on here? I mean, the one year I looked at the thing and there was Toyotas held the first 5 positions. And I thought, here they go. The Toyota, my words, I got to buy 4 of the Toyotas for what I bought for the Mercedes. And this one runs better and does better and handled better and everything else. It's like, where are we going in this? But see, people get hooked up in status symbols. I'm not. You know, if somebody wants a status symbol, get it. I mean, have at it. But I don't care what the rest of them like. I got to drive it. That's what I'm interested in. I got to drive it and like driving it. That's what I got to do. So I get something that I want. You know, in my life, I didn't want a minivan until I got grandkids. Then I wanted a minivan. I never wanted a minivan. I thought that, my God, what Ed needs is a nice something, a little more sporty. That's what Ed needs. But you know, you got grandkids, and I don't care the rest of them. I want the kids in the car. It So that's my prayers. You know what? There's other grandpas, they don't care. They don't want the minivan. Well, go do whatever you want. Let me alone. I'm happy. Whatever thing you desire when you pray. You know, I'd use Mike and Darlene as an example. They had a desire for a home, and they got a beautiful home. But you know, they got over there and got thinking, and whether they started getting religious. Well, maybe we shouldn't build this big or go that big. Maybe we shouldn't go this far. You know, why? We could live in something smaller. You know, we wouldn't have to have all of this. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you go tell Mike if they can build the house like they're talking now. He said, I can't be in it with them because that's not what's in his heart. See, the desire of the heart, it was in their heart to have the house they got. It wasn't another desire. See, you can go out here, and people do this all the time. They have their heart for something really good that they really like, but they want to settle for something less because, boy, that seems a bit out there. But in their heart, if they'd follow their heart, they could get it. They could get what's in their heart. Many times we laid aside what was in our heart. We laid aside what was in our heart for something less. And we're totally dissatisfied. Now I know what I'm talking about. I've lived in these places, folks. I've walked in these places. I've been the dissatisfied man. I said, Lord, I'm an idiot. What did I do that for? I thought I was just, oh, well, I could go with something less. I want to tell you this. If you're willing to accept less, the devil will even give you less yet. Because he'll come and visit you. See, when you open your door, when you leave the place of faith, you leave the place from what's in your heart, you step out into the place where Satan's realm is, the place of unbelief. And he can come knock on your door there. See, you stay over in the area of faith, God will bring to pass. I'll tell you, it's good preaching, folks, but God will. God will bring that thing to pass. You know, Mike and them settled on what God said. It turned out great, didn't it? Hallelujah. Praise God, and you're happy. Hallelujah! But see, God wanted them to have the fulfillment of their heart. God fulfills the hearts. He don't fulfill your mind. He'll fulfill the dream and whatever you have in your heart. That's what he fulfills. That's what prayer is about. We have the authority in the name of Jesus. We've been given the authority in that name. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. John 16 and 23 and 24 says, and in that day you ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive. Ask and you might get something. Who knows? God may say yes and he may say no. He said, why? That your joy may be filled. You know, God wants you to have a joyful prayer life. Do you think most people have a joyful prayer life? I can tell you that they don't, because that's why people are so prayerless. They don't enjoy doing it because they don't even expect things to work out. God's intent for you is to have a joyful prayer life of answered prayer. That's what he wants. I don't know about you. Is that good news? Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? He wants you to have a fulfilled prayer life, that the desires of your heart begin to get fulfilled. The things that are inside of you, the desires that you have in you, those things get fulfilled. It'll make your joy. He wants you to have joy. Oh, well, you know, you could drive the Chevette, you know. Yeah, I could get by. And maybe we'd stick another motor in that thing because we couldn't keep the one that got in it. And we could do some things. We could overhaul it 6 times. You know, we could do that. You can do those things if you want to. Is that the desire of your heart? You'll always wonder if people say, no, it's not. But this is where God wants me right now. Gee, why would you have a desire for something else and not the desire where God wants you right now? Why would somebody desire something better than where God wants them right now if they're supposed to stay in this place where God wants them, where they don't have anything? No, it's, you know, my desire in life as I was born as a child, I always wanted more. You know what? That's God in a human being. That's the way God put the desire in human beings, for a desire for more. That's what we are. Progress is part of what we are. God don't regress. God ain't living in a little cabin in the corner of glory land. That's not what's happening. See, we have stuff that's in us, and it's that desire. See, what we've done, see, the destruction of any nation, just like what the Soviet Union did, America's doing, is we just grow more people on the social programs where people no longer have desire to produce a thing, just sit around and get off of somebody else. That's all godlessness, and the churches love it. The churches do all they can to keep people in that place. Oh, become dependent on us. We'll feed you. We'll take care of you. We'll do it. And they just help in this thing, and it keeps people over where they, the dreams that you have inside of you, what God put in man to have, they're not after anymore. They think the government can bring it to you now, see. Boy, isn't that working? You know? Gee, the government will give you a phone. Isn't that exciting? Woo, my God. We got a phone now. But most America loves it. Most America thinks it's the most wonderful stuff in the world. They're asked, you know what? Anything of a dream to have something. I remember sitting down counseling a couple. The guy wouldn't work half the time. They wanted to get married. And I told him I wouldn't marry them. And I explained to the girl why I wouldn't marry him. Because I said, this lazy guy that you're with here, he's never going to work, he's never going to, you're never going to have nothing. You're going to watch the other people driving around in nice cars, you're going to watch other people taking nice vacations and stuff, and you're never going to have them. You'll never have them. Because I said, you know, he's happy, and you know what he ended up doing in his life? She ended up, they didn't listen, you know, went and got, she married him. They ended up getting a divorce, she left him. And you know what he's doing today? He's living on the government. That's what he's doing. Can't hold a job, but he goes to church and he works for the church free. He can work for the church. These churches out here, I tell you, we got churches out here that ain't worth nothing. People living off the government, working for them on the side. If those people can work, they need to get out and get a job. Any church, any minister tells me if somebody who's getting government assistance and working on this, working for them, I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't cast the devil out of that pastor and get him born again. They think that that's God's way of helping. That ain't God's way of helping. We got churches in this town doing this all over the place. People living on government assistance. And then they go down and help with the church. This guy can't work. And I watched him. He's a thing. And they were unloading a truck. And he's carrying stuff off the truck. He's doing all this stuff. Sitting out there watching. Working for Jesus. He's working for the devil. And I know it. And the pastor too. Somebody came to me and said they wanted to help out of the church. They have a job. I tell them, go get a job. I don't have enough trouble without inviting the devil into the church. Dear Lord. It's good preaching, Ed. All this stuff is so-called doing good. We have so much evil out here going on, people call good. They don't know what good is anymore. Man, if you can work, you get your butt out there and get the job. You won't find many lazy people listening to me preach. Over the years, we've had them come in and out of the church many times. And they don't like to hear. As soon as they hear work, out the door, because they go to another church and they'll feed them. And they're out of here like a rocket. I don't put up with it. I tell people right there in their face, the Bible says you don't work, you don't eat. I said, you could drop over dead right here. I said, I won't even try to resurrect you. We'll bury you because you don't need to be on the face of the earth, because you're a bad representation of Jesus Christ. You need to be gone. Hallelujah, good preaching. My God, shake Obama up. The whole idea is to run this socialistic society, and that's what they're promoting. And even the Democrats, Republicans, both sides, that's all they're doing is promoting them. Promoting more and more. You know, my word's got Harrisburg up here. The GOP wants to expand more gambling. Boy, I tell you, that's what we need in this day and age. We need these good, godless men up here. Tell the conservatives. Yeah, they'll conservatively rob everything out of you they can get. And, you know, we need more gambling. I'll tell you, that's the answer to America. More gambling, my God. That's going to solve the problems. I'll tell you, that's really going to work. If Jesus, let me just tell you, if Jesus tarries for another 5 years, you will see them giving money to the gambling industry in Pennsylvania trying to keep it alive. Does that happen in New Jersey? Down in there, bailouts for Atlantic City, it don't work. Because all these states are going, after a while, there's going to be so much gambling everywhere, the pie gets cut so far out there. But politicians, all they can see, they think everything is going to, oh, another dollar, we can get some more money, we can get some more money. And that's all on their minds. And they don't care how they get it anymore either. They'll turn around and give a guy on welfare. You know, it just amazes me to see the people, you know, and they got their food stamp cards and everything else and that stuff. And they go, the stuff people buy and go get. You see them walking. I go down here like the Turkey Hills. You get the people walking in these places down there. And you know they're living in poverty. And they're down there buying $40 worth of tickets for the lottery. You say, oh, you sit here and watch them. I mean, they just go inside. And they stand there in lines just buying tickets and tickets and tickets. You know, they're buying them. You know, I won $200. I spent $5,000, but I won $200. My God. They say these people don't have money. Now, you know what's the crazy thing? You know the richest communities in the world are a lot of the ghettos? You go check out how much they spend on drugs a year in those places. Now, people say these places are poor. No, it ain't poor. It's what they're spending their money on. They spend money on drugs like crazy. You go down there, man, if you see what some of these people spend a year on drugs, I mean, go out here and buy drugs. Tell me how cheap it is. And they turn around and say they got a poverty in their community? No, they don't. They got money. It's what they spent their money on. I bought a car. They bought drugs. They say they're poor. I'm sorry. They ain't poor. They got what they bought. It's just stupidity in the church world. We give them money to go eat. We give them food to go eat so they can buy more drugs. Wonderful system. And you know what? Our prayer lives are tied around this stuff. And God's sitting down there, sitting up there looking and saying, what on earth are them Christians doing down there? I told them in my word what I want, but they're trying to do what they want. They're down there working at what they want. See, we got to come back into preaching the gospel again and preaching the truth of the Word of God. You and I have been given a right to have our prayers answered. And one of the things that we need to do is get in line with the Word of God. One of the things is dealing to do is prayer and prayer in the Word. Jesus said this in John 15, Jesus' own words. Jesus said this, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. If you abide in me, now I want to, you're a Christian, you're born again, you're in Christ Jesus. The Bible says so. Now you need to understand this. We're dealing with laws and rules. First, you're going to have to, we talked about the fact, the name of Jesus, number one, is the authority to ask God for anything. Now, we find out from here that Jesus also, he clarifies some other things about prayer. This is why you can't base things on just one scripture. See, lots of times people just get one scripture and they just hook on that, and that's, no, it's not. He has other things he tells us here. Here's a revelation that Jesus brings about prayer. We know he said the authority to ask. You have the authority to ask anything. Now, he tells us here on what the guarantee is of that authority. That if we ask anything according to his will or according to his word, what he has said. In other words, understand this. Faith is based on the will of God. You must know what the will of God is to have faith. Faith is not something out there. You know, people say, well, faith, you know, it's just it's almost like a little, you know, fairy flying around out here somewhere, you know, and it's just, you know, whatever. And my faith, you know, I have faith. But it's not founded upon anything. We need to understand faith is founded upon the Word of God. In other words, you must know what God's Word says. If you don't know what God has said, how could you believe him? If you didn't know what my opinion or how I felt about something, you could have no faith in me to do something for you that you don't know my will on. You know, if you needed something done or help doing something, if you didn't know that I said I would help do something, you know, with you with that, you couldn't have faith for me to show up and help you. There would be no faith involved because you don't know what my will is on it. First, you'd have to find my will. So what do? We go ask the person, John, I'm doing such and such. Can you help me with that? Now, I need an answer from John. So he's going to either say yes or no. Then I'm going to have confidence in John based upon his answer to help me do what I need done. I first need his response. I have to know what he says about it. If John says, no, I can't do that, then this is I know. I can't have confidence that John will help me, can I? See, most people are going to God, they think because they need something, God will supply it. They don't know, even know if God said. See, people go and want healing. They know God, well, he can, sometimes he does, sometimes he don't. Does that sound like when we go over to Hebrews and the 11th chapter? This is the confidence that we, I mean, in the book of John, 1 John, 5th chapter, this is the confidence that we have in him, that we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Well, you don't have that there, do you? If I don't know what God said, I have no confidence whatsoever. You can know. See, sometimes people have come to me over the years and say, I don't know if I'm in faith or not. Well, I say to them, well, just what you said, I know you're not. Because why? You have no confidence. You don't know whether you're in or out. You don't know, so you're not. Faith is based upon confidence. You know. That's why Jesus said in Mark 11:24, whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, believe you receive it. You can't believe you receive something he didn't give to you. You can only believe for what he said you can have. He didn't tell you to ask him to give it to you because you know you don't know yet if he wants to. You could never believe you receive something that has not already been given to you. If God has made the promise in the Word, the promise stands. As far as God's concerned, it belongs to you. You like salvation. Did anybody ever pray in line with the Word of God and not get saved? It's never happened. It's never taken place. Why? Because the Word will produce. You can have somebody's preached the correct things about the Bible that says something. It's like when Jesus gave Kenneth Hagin that prayer he put in the back of his books. Jesus said to him, if people will believe what this prayer says, he said they'll get born again every time. Why? It's in line with the Word. It's following the rules of the Word, and it follows the rules of the Word it produces. Oh, thank God for rules. Hallelujah. Glad we got them. Those things that guarantee us. So when we're praying, so a person must know the will of God. And this is why with Jesus speaking here about prayer, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will, what you desire, and it shall be done for you. You ask what you desire. Well, yeah, I got to jump on that one. You're asking for what you desire. Now listen to verse 8 of that chapter. Listen to what it says. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Now understand this. The Father is glorified through prayer answered, not through sometimes yes, sometimes no. He didn't give it to me because he didn't want me to have it. Did he say any of that in there? Can anybody find that in a scripture any place in the Bible? No, you can't. Yet it's preached. What the Bible says that you can have is like the Lord spoke to me in the areas concerning finances last year when he started dealing with me on the areas of finances and started really talking to me. He just said to me, how far do you want to go? He said, this is up to you. It's not up to me. It's up to you. How far do you want to go? Where do you want to go in this thing? He turned around and gave me some things to start to do, set me on course. All of it was in line with the Word. He gave me scripture for everything he talked to me about. Understand this. You wouldn't know that if God is talking to you if you don't know what the Bible says. How would you know it was him talking to you? Just because you hear a voice. I have never in my Christian life have had God speak to me other than in reference to scripture to stand on. See, if you don't know what the Bible says about it, sometimes speak to me about things and I could sit there and quote a number of scriptures about it. That's right in line with the Bible. That's right. So, but if you don't know, how would you take it? How do you judge what's talking? The Bible says this in the New Testament. There's many voices and none without significance. How do you know which voice is talking to you? How do you know which voice is it? How do you know it's the devil? The devil came and quoted a scripture to Jesus out of context. Do you know that? If you would know that, you'd fall for it. Thank God Jesus knew the Word. And this is why we know that going to prayer life, your prayer life is good. This is one of the rules of prayer. Number one, you're not going to go anywhere really in a prayer life without knowing the Bible. You've got to know the Bible. You have to know what the Word of God says. The Holy Spirit takes what belongs to Jesus and shows it to us. Jesus is the Word. The foundation is in the Word. And if the Holy Spirit's going to reveal the things to me, this is one thing as I know He's always going to do. He's going to reveal to me in light of the Word of God. Always. He always does. He reveals things to us in light of the Word. And I found out there's things that God couldn't reveal to me, certain things, because I didn't know areas. I had to learn over time things about the Word of God so He could give me certain revelations. You're going to have that. That's one of the things you find. It takes time to grow and develop in the things. But you're going to have to get in line with the Word, because we found out here what Jesus is saying, that the answered prayer is based upon the Word of God being in you. Abide in me, my words abide in you. In other words, they're in your spirit. You can have the Word of God in your brain, but not in your heart. You can go around and quote what the Word of God says. What will produce it is the Word of God in you. Words spoken that are in your spirit. Whatever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them. But He said, you say unto this mountain, you believe in your heart. Say it with your mouth, it's going to come to pass. Comes out of the inside. It's what's in you. It's what's in your inner man. Faith is of the heart. It's not of the head. Never has been. This is why, you know, I never memorized Scripture. My Christian wife ever memorized Scriptures. Because I found this out. You get Scriptures in your heart. And I tell you what, you step out and start moving in a direction, they'll start just coming out of you. I would rather have a minister speak two words out of his heart than 1,000 words out of his head. He might be right Scriptures, but I'll tell you, the heart's what produces things. It's what's inside you is what changes things, not what's in your mind. Your mind, it ain't have a happy thought. I've had not happy thoughts, but I've spoken out of my spirit and changed things. And that's what you want to do. See, that's why the Holy Spirit indwells your spirit. He's the one that's going to get behind what's in your heart. It doesn't say the Holy Spirit, He moves in your head and gets you. The Bible doesn't teach it. Yeah, that's what people are doing. They're trying to do a mental process. See, America got over and got so educated, we got far away from God. When education left the godliness, it just left, it's a mental thing. And we have a mental religion today, a mental Christianity. It's based on men's intellect of what the Bible says, and people's are smart, you know. Because, you know, we can read, we know God, you know, and we can read and know God. Well, dear Lord, I've been places they can't read well at all. Know a lot more God. Know a lot more about God than people who can read. You know, God's not interested in how smart I am, it's how much I can yield to Him. That impresses Him a whole lot more. And there's one thing about it, it'll get a lot more done if He listens to Him. So we need to do that. But the Father is glorified. Why? That we bear much fruit. So you will be, now listen, so you will be my disciples. You know what? Don't we have always been a disciple of Jesus? This is people's answer. See, a disciple, he knows a lot about the Bible. He's a good disciple. Did Jesus say that here? Jesus said His disciples bear much fruit. In other words, what they can produce in their prayer life. Oh, we have a lot of religious ideas about the Bible. The church has a lot of religious ideas. He said, so you'll be, you produce a lot of fruit, so you'll be my disciples. A prayer life that produces what you pray for. If anything in the earth, see, how does God bring things into the earth? Through our asking. Jesus said to Peter, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. It's what we produce in this earth, what we produce, what we allow in, what we allow God to produce through our faith. We believe it, believe we receive it, and it shows up. That's what His disciples do. We're in this earth. Our main purpose is to allow God to bring His perfect plan and will into this earth through us. That's the major thing. That's the whole thing. God told us, as the Lord spoke to me years ago, He said, my people get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, that was good, but He said, the number one thing I want them to have after that's healing. He said, the devil steals from them their money, like America. America's going broke over sickness and disease. America's going broke over it. The fortunes that are being spent. Sickness and disease. He said, number one thing I want my people well. He said, because the devil keeps my people sick, he keeps their money, he steals their money from them. He said, and then when they're sick, they can't go where I want them to go and do what I want them to do. They can't do it because they're sick. Sickness and disease are the devil, and the church has worshipped it like it was God working in the earth. God made you sick for a reason. Yes, you can't do his will. That's why he did it. He didn't like you doing his will, so he gave you cancer so you could lose all your money, you know, so you can't even afford to tithe no more. And you're losing all your money, and you're laid out in a bed. You can't do his will, and you're just dying slowly, and that just makes everybody so happy. And God's glorified. You know, the church world is so full of such madness, it is insane. It is. I mean, you think of the thing. You realize how many doctrines the devil has got in the church and preached and got them, and they preach regularly. God's glorified when we get our prayers answered. God's glorified. You're his disciple when you ask for something and it showed up. That proves you're his disciple. You have no proof other than talk other than that. This is what the church has had, talk. A talk Christianity. And not a producing Christianity. Our prayers are to get answered. And people say, my God, they know God. Look what happened. How did you get that? How did that happen? I want to know. You know, it's today, well, pray for me and I'll end up with what you got. Nothing. Well, it's good preaching anyhow. You might as well say laugh or say oh me or something. I don't know. But see, God wants us to preach it. And see, this is why we got to change our whole approach about prayer. Because things have entered in. Years ago, the right things were taught. But a lot of junk has gotten in the church. A lot of junk teaching's gotten in the church. And it's moved us away from the power of a prayer life that actually is supposed to produce, and it's God's plan that it produces. And God wants it to because he wants to be glorified through you so everybody knows you belong to him. Not by word, but by actual seeing what God does. We bring into manifestation what God wants done in this earth. You're not going to see God manifest no more through this earth than we're going to let him manifest through this earth. The more I can believe. It ain't going to happen in this earth just because we want it to happen. It's what we can believe. And that's why we got to go to the Word to find out the truth. And I found out what the truth said. The truth in the Word is that if I know what his will were, and his will, his words abide in me, I can ask what I desire. And it will be done. And God's going, whoa, that's one of my disciples down there. Hallelujah, that's one of my boys. That's what he wants. No, we thought he's testing us. My God, the test ought to stop sometime. Dear Lord, people have been in a test for 90 years now. You know, always in a test. Every time I ever took a test, there was a reward at the end of the test. When you pass the test, there's a reward. And if you ain't got a reward, you weren't in a test. The devil was eating your life up. It wasn't God. Look through the scriptures. Abraham got tested, and what did he get? Glory to God! God didn't say, well, I'm going to kill you anyhow. My God, kill that boy. Dear Lord, tests bring reward. Hallelujah. See, what a change about what we believe about the Bible. I want to tell you, this Bible is better than we preached it. It's more glorious than it's been preached. Our God is so good. Hallelujah. He is so awesome. Glory to God. And that's our God. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Oh, just think about our God today, folks. Just think about this God, he gave you the authority. He said, in my name, you can go to Dad. You can go to Father God, and you can get anything. Hallelujah. Do you know what my word says about something? See, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. If you know it's God's will to heal you, God says, man, I want you to get healed because I want people to see that you get your prayer answered. See, God's on your side. He's not working. He doesn't have some hard thing trying to keep us and running us through jumping hoops and all this kind of stuff. And if you do this, then you do that. Then you no, he set a path on how it works. And you know what? When I found out years ago how simple the path was, religion always makes it hard. Religion always makes it hard to get to God because it always puts the roadblocks. You're not good enough, or you're not something, or this, or they always got a roadblock in there. Did we find in the scriptures today it say anything about you? What how said what you believe about him, not what you believe about you. You might be a scumbag, you know. You just might be one. But he didn't say if you're scumbags, you can't ever get your prayers answered. He said, if you're a Christian scumbag, you're just done. I'm going to tell you, that's it. If you messed up, if you've sinned, you're finished. I'll tell you what, that's it. I'm just a mad God. These things aren't written there. I'm going to tell you what, you can't change your life without God. If I can't get my prayers answered, I can't change. I don't know about you. I need God to change Ed. If Ed could change Ed, dear, what would I need God for?
That's right.
Man, I need God. I need to get my prayers answered. If I want to follow God, I better know how to hook up with Him on the areas of money for things He wants me to do. I better be able to get up with some money. I better know how to believe to do it. See, you have dreams and visions within you to do things. And I'll tell you, you need some more digits before their point, whatever, 2 zeros after that. You need a lot more in front of that than you've been thinking about in your mind. But your heart has a desire for something more.
Yes.
You might have religion blocking you because of what you've been told over the years about, well, you know, going too far. If you walk in the love of God, you can have anything you want. If you're not selfish or self-centered, I'll tell you, I want money for the right motives. I mean, there's people I want to give and bless and do things for, and I'll tell you what, and I want to have better things. I want to give my wife nicer stuff. I want to do better things for her. I'm going to tell you, it's a good godly reason. I want to do more for my kids. I want to do more for my grandkids. I want to have money to do more for people. I want to bless people. When I see somebody and I want to give them something, I want to give them something really good. I want God to be able to call on me when somebody needs something big. I can go give it to them. Hallelujah. Say, Lord, you can count on me. I'll give it to them. That's where I want to be. That's where I want to live. Well, I didn't get there being Ed Gibson. But I'll tell you, God can take me there. God will help me walk in that place. It's because I can ask according to His will. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's wonderful. Father, we want to say thank you this morning. What a gracious God you are. Father, I just want to thank you so much, Father God. Father, I just pray this morning, the walls of religion and the walls and ideas of things that have been put into people's minds, those walls fall today in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, these are your wonderful children and they are your disciples. And Father God, you want their prayers answered. Father God, they have sought you. There's many things that you have done for them. And Lord, wonderful things, and we thank you. But Lord God, we want to go further. We want to go much further, far beyond where we have walked before. I thank you, Lord God, where you've brought me to at this point. But Lord God, it's not enough. It's not enough. Hallelujah. And Lord God, we're walking further. We're stepping out further ahead and further ahead. And Father, I want to thank you. Heaven's open to us. Heaven's open to the church. Hallelujah. And Father, you've given us the wonderful name of Jesus and that authority, Lord God, in that name, that we can approach you with great confidence, Lord God, that your ear is turned to us, Lord God. You're not waiting for us to perform some great deed. Lord God, you performed all the great deeds and our confidence is in what you have done. Hallelujah. And Father God, we declare that there is none like you. Father, we were singing about you being awesome today. We were singing about you. No, there's none like you, Lord. And Father God, there's not. And I want to thank you, Father God, that the words, these gracious words that Jesus Christ Himself spoke, Father, we want them to fall upon our hearts, Lord God. And Lord God, we want the rain of those words falling into our spirits, Father God, where we believe them, Lord God, and we don't doubt, hallelujah. And Father God, when we approach you, we're just so confident. We're so bold in your presence, Lord God. Lord, that heaven just shouts for joy, Lord God, that your children approach you, Lord God. Hallelujah, with great confidence that you're going to do all that your word said you're going to do. Hallelujah. Lord, as you spoke through us through the interpretation today, we're entering into these days. These are our days, Lord God. These are the days of the fulfillment of your word. Hallelujah. Lord God, your glory poured out into the earth, Father God, and we're going to be participants in it. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're not going to be spectators. Lord, this church will not be a spectator sport. Hallelujah. Lord God, we'll not come here to watch a show. We'll be the show. Jesus Christ will manifest Himself and be glorified through the people. Hallelujah. And we thank you for it, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, you hear our prayers. Hallelujah. When we call on you, you answer us quickly. Hallelujah. Oh, we're not like the old unjust judge. No, that's not who we are. He's the guy that they had to hound. Lord, we were told that we had to hound you to get you to answer. Lord, that's a lie. Hallelujah. Your word says you respond quickly to your people. Hallelujah. I thank you. You're responding to us quickly in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord God. We will not believe the lie. We believe what Jesus said, and that settles it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you today, Lord God, oh, for all that you're going to accomplish and do in us and through us. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. And in this place, glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 The Lord just keeps reminding, whatever thing you desire, whatever thing you desire, whatever thing, what do you desire? He said, whatever you desire when you pray. You know, he don't make prayer some, well, oh, thou Lord, doest this and that's and whatever. I'm going to tell you, he said, whatever thing you desire. Say, Lord, Lord, in the name of Jesus, this is what I desire. This is what I desire. And I want to thank you, Lord, for giving that to me right now in the name of Jesus. I believe I have it. I'm taking hold of it right now. It belongs to me. It's mine. What is it in your heart? I mean, look into your heart. I want you to do this. Look at what is in your heart. Sometimes you're going to see things in your heart, and they're bigger than your mind can handle. I'm just going to tell you, they're going to be. But I tell you, know what God wants you to do? He wants you to believe that what's in your heart. He wants to get that on your lips. Hallelujah. He wants to get you to get on your lips what's in your heart, not what the brain can handle. I tell you, my brain goes tilt a lot of times on things. It just sort of has a heart. But my heart, there's things in my heart. There's desires that are in my heart. And you have things today in your heart. And they're there. And you know what? You know God's been waiting for you? To voice that desire to Him and claim it as yours. See, you've been waiting. This is what the Lord's telling me. You've been waiting till you think you arrive at some grace place of faith. God's been waiting for you to release your faith. He's been waiting for you to release it. The desire that's in your heart. He's been waiting for you to let it go. Hallelujah. Just by your mouth and say, Lord, Lord, that's what's in my heart. I believe I receive it. Thank you for giving it to me. Lord God, you're the fulfiller of my heart's desire. My heart's desire. You're fulfilling it. Hallelujah. It's being done. It's being done. You let Him know. You don't have to tell me what it is. Whatever it is in your desire. Hallelujah. You claim it as yours. It belongs to you. Hallelujah. And He will have whatever He says, the Bible says. He will have whatever He says. Released from your heart. Glory to God. It'll come to pass. It'll come to pass. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for giving us that wisdom. Lord God, you see the hearts. You know what's in us. You know what's going on. Hallelujah. We don't see sometimes. But Lord God, I want to thank you for making that clear. Thank you for making that clear this morning. Thank you for making that clear. Father, I thank you. There's things being released from this people. Hallelujah. Oh, that Jesus is going to be glorified. Jesus is going to be magnified. I thank you. Their joy is going to be full. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so they shall be disciples. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 There's ones, the Holy Spirit saying this. You have children that are living like hell. Hallelujah. Glory to God, they're your children. They're your children. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Take authority in the name of Jesus over the devil, over your kids. Take authority over, and you claim those children for heaven. And don't you let it alone. God will bring them in. God will bring them in. Hallelujah. He'll bless the fruit of your body. You may have messed up and done dumb things. Well, repent. Hallelujah. But you call them in. Hallelujah. And don't treat them like they're going to hell. Hallelujah. They may really act like they're trying to get there. Glory to God. But you keep calling them. They're my fruit of my body. Hallelujah. They're coming into the kingdom. They're coming into the kingdom. We ain't letting our kids go off to hell. Hallelujah. Our kids are not going off to hell. I don't care what anybody else says. They're not going off to hell. So you got to learn to stand. There's certain things you have authority for. You need to stand. When it comes to your family, if you're interested in your family, why would you have a desire for your family to come into Christ and Christ ain't interested in them? Ain't that stupid? Yes. Dear God, Hallelujah. But we can open that door to bring them in. Take authority over the devil, over their life in the name of Jesus. You tell the devil to get in. When you see they're doing stuff wrong, don't sit around and complain about it. Take authority. Devil, get your hands off my kids in the name of Jesus. Say, thank you, Lord God, my kids are following God. I don't care what it looks like, they're following God. My kids are going to heaven. I don't know what, man, God's been so faithful. I mean, just the idea of him bringing my brothers and sisters in, just because of my faithfulness, he told me he'd bring them in. It ain't for just Ed Gibson. Hallelujah. Get yourself over. Get in, you know, get over the will of God. Start talking to God about these things, about what you're supposed to be believing, the direction you're supposed to be going in these areas. Hallelujah. You got authority from heaven. Dear Lord, you got the name of Jesus. You can go to the Father. I'm going to tell you, my kids are my kids. Hallelujah. And they ain't going to hell. I don't care how hard they try. I tried to go to hell and got in. Dear Lord, I tried everything I could to try to get in. And the Lord said he spared me because of my dad's righteousness. That's what he told me. My dad's righteousness, he spared me. Dear God. Hallelujah. You don't think he'd spare your kids because of your righteousness? My dad wasn't some special guy. Dear Lord. Hallelujah. He's just a believer. God treated him like he was. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You just call them in. Sometimes there's things we just don't get serious enough about. We see people and we see what they're doing and we get so identified with what they're doing. Don't get identified with what they're doing. They're acting like hell. What do you expect out of a sinner acting like hell? My God. I'd go and show you a lot of Christians that act worse than sinners. Don't matter what it looks like they're doing. I don't really care what it looks like they're doing. Hallelujah. I've done taking authority. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, my authority trumps it. My authority trumps it. I'm going to tell you what, me and heaven are together on this thing. And there ain't another voice in it. I tell you, they act like they want and do what they want. Hallelujah. They'll come to Jesus and they'll follow Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. My offspring's going to be in heaven. Hallelujah. My God, even all my brothers and sisters, in my words, even the husbands and wives are coming in on that. No, I tell you, God's good. Hallelujah. Take authority in the name of, take your place in Jesus' name. Don't let the devil steal what belongs to you. Don't allow it. Hallelujah. See, we get too many times dealing our minds about people and looking at stuff, determining where they're at and what we see on the outside of where they are spiritually. Sometimes we ain't got a clue. Sometimes, you know, I've always told the story myself. God was dealing with me the most, I was acting the worst. And people just thought, man, he's just an old sinner. He ain't gonna ever turn around. God was dealing with me. And Christians thought God wasn't dealing with me, the devil owned me. Hallelujah. They didn't know that God was getting his hand in me big time. See, that's why you can't deal with people. You can't look at the outside. We don't do that. Hallelujah. We stand in our place of authority, and the only way we should be seeing is from our place of authority. The only place I see is from my position of authority, not what they do. I only see from my position of authority. And they're coming in. They ain't got a choice. I ain't asking them what they want. Me and God got together, and we got this thing fixed. We got it fixed. Just tell me how many people are going off to hell because Christians aren't taught this stuff. How sad. How many children, parents have watched their children go off to hell because they don't know. They're sitting in churches talking, well, if God wants to, he will. Teaching their Calvinism. And don't tell people the truth. Hallelujah. How sad. How sad. Hallelujah. You have authority in the name of Jesus. I'm going to stand up and use it. Get tough. I tell you what, don't let the devil drag you around. Don't let him drag you around through whatever people are doing. You stand up in the name of Jesus. You declare. You declare. You declare. Hallelujah. No matter what the devil's doing, you can look at him and laugh. He might be carrying on, but I can look at him and laugh. See, amen. I know the final answer on this thing. Right. Huh. My God, he thought he's going to take my sister out and die. Well, my couldn't have. Ed Dunn believes she gets saved. God already talked to us about that. Well, other Christians were worrying. Well, she's going to die. I said, she can't die. God talked. I heard from heaven. She can't die. She's going to have to get saved. The Lord told me he's going to bring her in. So she has to get in. So that's it. Oh, well, would you pray? I said, I ain't praying. Why would I pray when I got the answer? This is what Christians do. Let's go to some unbelief. Let's act like God said ain't going to happen, so let's pray again. I ain't praying all the time about my kids. I've made declaration, folks. And I'm going to tell you the word's out. And the word's coming to pass. I ain't going to pray into God and act like it ain't working. Oh, Lord, help. Look what they're doing. Oh, my God. Look how bad they've been acting. Oh, help me, Lord. Did you see what they did? But I believe in you. Oh, it ought to show up on your face. Hallelujah. Make a declaration. When they're doing bad, I tell you what, you just look and say, praise God. I have made a declaration out of my heart. They belong to God. Hallelujah. And God will bring it to pass. God will bring it to pass. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, your interest in your people, your love for your people is phenomenal. Lord God, hallelujah. Father God, the things that are on their hearts concerning their loved ones, I'm just so glad, Lord God. Lord, you love more than they do. Hallelujah. You're interested in them, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father, you want to work together with them and bring these things to pass. Hallelujah. Father God, you want them to be your disciples by rewarding them, Lord God. Hallelujah. With the answers to their prayers. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. You're making it work. You're the one that's making it work. We're just trusting you. Hallelujah. We believe, we receive it, and we have it. It's ours. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Father, is there anything else that you'd want to do? We want to cooperate with you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Anything at all. Anything at all. Well, Lord, we do appreciate what you have done. We appreciate you and your willingness to talk directly to us today about things, Lord God, to help us in the right track, Lord God. And Father, I just appreciate it so much. Lord God, Lord, it's amazing what you could do in spite of me sometimes. I just want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for moving through me. Thank you, Lord God, for your love for this people. Hallelujah. Your concern for their lives and concern for their loved ones. Your concern, Father God. And Father, you know in their heart's desire they want to be used mightily. They want you to work through them. And Father God, you said so, they're not going to be disappointed. You said so this morning. They won't be disappointed. And Lord God, I'm agreeing with you. They won't be. Father God, your glory will be revealed in them. Lord God, people will know that they are your disciples. And Lord God, they'll be full of joy, full of joy, full of joy. Hallelujah. And Father, you're bringing their loved ones in. You're bringing their loved ones in, Father God. Hallelujah. Lord, you said even in this community, you were going to bring people from afar. Lord God, from the north, the south, and the east, and the west, you would bring them. Hallelujah. Lord God, that people would come to Jesus. Lord God, in these last days, Father God, we want to thank you. Our loved ones are in that number of the north, the south, and the east, and the west. And they'll come into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah, Father God. And we thank you for it. We're not going to worry about them. We're not going to fret about them. Hallelujah. Jesus died for them. Jesus carried the burden of them. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Father God, we don't have to carry the burden. Hallelujah. Father God, we get to carry the joy. Glory to God to know that your word is true. Hallelujah. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.